Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Thank you, Pastor Sonin. Greetings. I came with energy. You've just deflated the energy. Let me try that again. Greetings. Guys in the upper balcony, greetings. Did you guys have breakfast? Okay, let me give you food very shortly. Hallelujah. Well, before I get into the Word of God, allow me to recognize a group that have joined us here today, a special group. Over the years, the Lord has connected us with friends around the world and partners that help us to fulfill the mission that the Lord has given us here at Watoto Church to raise, rescue, and rebuild by, you know, taking care of the vulnerable women and the orphans in our care. And today we are joined specifically by a team from Willowbrook Church in the U.S. Welcome. Thank you very much for joining us, led by Lisa Word. It is a delight to stand, and let's give you a Watoto welcome. Shall we come and celebrate them? Thank you. You may be seated. They renovated a house in 2024, and they've come to see how the people in that house are doing, but also to visit a couple of other projects as well today. I want to celebrate also what God has done. My friend over here, Enos, told us this morning that it's been 7 days without reporting an Ebola case. Hallelujah. So let's celebrate Jesus. Last Sunday, we took time to pray. Keep in prayer. The Lord is answering our prayer. And we thank the Lord for his goodness as well. So please remember to thank God for that. I want to do something that I really love to do. I love languages. I try to think I'm linguistic. So do something for me. Turn to your neighbor. Don't just wait. Listen to instruction. Turn to your neighbor and greet them in your mother tongue. If you're online, type your mother tongue and type the way you would speak in your mother tongue. So just turn to your neighbor. If your neighbor is of the same tribe, please change. As long as you are dark-skinned like me, you cannot have English as a mother tongue. Amen. I imagine that was an interesting adventure for you. And I'll be doing this more and more as well as we go along. One of the languages that is fascinating me more and more is from West Nile. And they greet simply this, Mifungoni. My people have responded from there. But as we get into the Word of God, allow me to invite you to stand to your feet. And we will read the Word of God from the first letter of John in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 is where we will go. And last week, I encouraged each one of you to come with your Bible. Do you have your Bible with you? A hard copy Bible. If you have a hard copy Bible, put up your hand. Okay, these are still a few. Let's increase the number of hard copy Bibles. Amen? Not because digital is bad, but there's just something about hard copy that makes a difference. And for your information, you're going to read in your Bible. If you didn't carry a Bible, if you don't have a digital Bible, it's not going up on the screen. So next Sunday, come with your, so that you can read from your. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6 reads and says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, Lord, as we turn to the pages of Scripture, may the Word of God come with simplicity, clarity, deep conviction, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to each and every one of us, O God, even as your anointed servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our theme this year is Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. In this season, we are helping each one of us to appreciate the role and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, in the life of the church. And we've been preaching a series of messages around that to emphasize the very fact that we are called to be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. And today we begin yet another sermon series entitled Spirit-Empowered Discernment. To discern simply means to be able to distinguish right from wrong, good from evil. And when you have discerned what is right and what is wrong, you make a choice to do what is right. And more specifically, in this season, we are going to focus greatly on discerning the spiritual aspects of our lives, the doctrines that are being taught, the methods that are being used by different preachers and pastors and different ministries. We want to dissect and understand, how do you spiritually discern what's going on around you or going on in the church or in the world that we live in? So I invite you to open up your heart, because we live in a world today where there is a lot of confusion. We live in a world where there's a lot of deception. We live in a world where there is too many conflicting voices. And the question always is, which voice do we listen to? Which voice do we turn to? Which is truth? Which is a lie? What is from God? What is not from God? And we need to answer these questions and wrestle with them. You see, the Apostle John, when he wrote this letter to the church and really to his dear children, he called them, he was an old man by the time he wrote this, he challenges them not to just believe any kind of spirit. Why? Because in the time when John was writing, there were two main false doctrines, two main false teachings destabilizing the church. One of them is what they call Docetism, which simply means that they taught that Christ was indeed a spirit being, but he only appeared to be human. Basically put, he was like a hologram. He never really was physically on the earth. And when you deny the humanity of Jesus, when you deny that Christ came in the flesh, then you have denied everything to do with the cross. The other one is what they call Gnosticism. It's a Greek word that speaks of attaining knowledge or knowledge. And they taught in those days that if you're going to attain a certain level of spiritual prominence, you must be able to understand the secret knowledge. In fact, for them, salvation was not by faith in some being. It was more about receiving secret knowledge. Now, when you hear me say this, you probably have had people speak about a secret knowledge, where they want to tap into a certain secret knowledge that brings you into a spiritual realm that only a few elite can reach. And it leaves all of us out. What that teaching denied was the sufficiency of Jesus. They denied that the knowledge of Christ is sufficient for all spirituality. No, you need a certain secret knowledge. But that same doctrine continued to propagate the fact that physical matter is evil, meaning then that your body is evil. So if your body is evil, it does not matter when it comes to spiritual things. And that has led to and continues to lead to what we call licentiousness, which is moral lawlessness. People give themselves freely to sin and there is no regard for repentance because our body counts for nothing. And as I say this, you're probably thinking about some teachings you've heard or some ministers or some people who claim to be pastors or prophets or apostles that are teaching wrong doctrines. I want to extend that to where we are today. There's been an extension of that Gnosticism where we live today, and we call it hyper grace. Now, we will explain more on this as we go down the road. But hyper grace has to do with the fact that the grace of God is so sufficient. All your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. So whatever you do in the body now doesn't matter. You're forgiven. So you don't need to repent. You don't need to confess your sins. It's okay to live the way you want to live. It's called hyper grace. The other extreme is what you call legalism. That Christ is not enough, so you need to add the law. We will explain and expound on some of these things as we go along the way. But you can agree with me that from what we see, there's a lot of what you call syncretism, where there's a mixture of Jesus with other things. Jesus mixed with yoga. I did a study, and there's no marriage, but there's nothing called Christian yoga. It's baptizing a pig and calling it a fish. Yeah. In some of these churches, it is outright witchcraft. Some of the practices are strange, man. I am tempted to go down the road somewhere, but I'll not go there. People now have put power in an ATM card. If you take it, money will come your way. My goodness. Wouldn't all of us want such ATM cards? You see, the problem is this. Unfortunately, not many Christians have learned to be discerning. And the Apostle John writes to the church and he tells them in verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Who? Them, the false prophets, the false teachers, the false apostles. You have overcome them. Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Who lives in you? By who? By his spirit. When Jesus was about to leave, John 15:14, 15, 16, Jesus tells us that the Spirit of God will come when he leaves. And that Spirit, his Spirit rather, will lead us into all truth. In fact, when you read John 14:15, 16, more than three times he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Why? Because in the last days, many prophets, false prophets, teachers will go out into the world. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, be careful that no one should deceive you and derail you. You see, the devil is always up to derailing you from the purpose of God. Go back to the Garden of Eden. He deceived Adam. He deceived Eve. And the purpose of God was derailed in their life. But thanks be to God, in Christ Jesus, that purpose is renewed and restored. He says it. Don't let anyone lead you astray. Be careful. Be watchful. Be alert. Because the devil roams around in the garment of light to devour those who are unsuspecting. So the Apostle John says, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you go with me into chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 20, he says this. And I want you to see spirit-empowered discernment. In verse 20, he says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge. When people are being made kings or priests, they put an oil on top of them, or they poured oil on them, symbolizing the separation or consecration, but also the coming of the Holy Spirit upon this individual. So the word you have been anointed is referring to the fact that you have received the Spirit of God. And it says, and you know everything. Now let's just correct something here. When it says you know everything, it doesn't mean that you are omniscient. It simply means the one who is in you knows everything and can lead you into all the truth. Are we together? Verse 27. But the anointing that you received from him, from God, abides or remains in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not a liar. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, interestingly, false teachers use this verse to cause people not to listen to true teachers by saying, no, you have an anointing, therefore that anointing, because you have that anointing, you do not need anyone to teach you, but they're teaching. Listen, this verse is simply telling us this, that the Spirit who dwells in us is able to teach us everything. In fact, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will testify about me. So Spirit-empowered discernment is Holy Spirit-guided ability to discern right from wrong, what is of God and what is not of God, so that you may do what pleases the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, brothers, try to discern what pleases God. And so what Apostle John does for us to help us be a Spirit-empowered people that discern right, he gives us three tests that we must have at heart and in mind. Within the portion that I read, I want to introduce you to three tests. If we're going to be a people that shall discern the spiritual things right with the help of the Holy Spirit, these three must be in your pocket, must be in your heart all the time. If we're going to be a people who are Spirit-empowered to discern the spiritual things. Test number one is called the Jesus test. What does verse 2 say? Verse 2 says is, by this you know the Spirit of God. In other words, if you want to know the spirit behind the man speaking or the woman speaking, behind the minister that is speaking, this is what you need to know. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from where? From God. No one who has the Spirit of God can say Jesus be accursed. So, John was emphasizing and counteracting the deception of the false teachers who said that Jesus would never really came in the flesh. They were denying the humanity of Jesus. John says, anyone who denies that Jesus came in the flesh is a false teacher. You go back to chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the what? The Christ. If people don't recognize that Jesus is the true Messiah, they are liars. I'm going to expound on this a little bit for you. The Jesus test is foundational to anything else you and I will experience. If someone teaches and tells you that on top of Jesus add this, they are a liar. If the confession of Christ from their lips does not uphold that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, they are a liar. If their confession of Christ does not uphold the fact that Jesus is sufficient for all spiritual needs and all life, they are a liar. What this really means is they're saying that Christ is insufficient to save you and I. That's why they deny the deity and they deny the humanity of Jesus. I was reading up and as I was preparing, I came across, there's a document I have, this document about some of the false teachings in the city. And one of the false churches actually uphold a doctrine that is extremely dangerous. And they say this, that Jesus and Christ are two separate people. True story. And in fact, what they say is that Jesus was the man and the Spirit of Christ just rested on the man. And when the man was dying, the Spirit of Christ left the man. You have just invalidated the sacrifice of the Son of God. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that God himself took on flesh. So Christ is fully God and fully man. If you can't believe that, then you can't make it to heaven. You must believe that he's fully God and fully man. That's a confession of faith. You have to. What do they confess about Jesus? So I ask you these questions. These are some of the questions you need to think about when you're discerning. But then let me tell you, the word to test, the Bible says here, but test every spirit. The word test means examine closely. Pay careful attention. Evaluate with scrutiny. Scrutinize the teaching. That means, I'm even telling you right now, evaluate me. I could error. Oh, but you don't, you cannot touch the anointed of the Lord. Touch not. Let me tell you, those things, it is true. Be careful how you touch the anointed of the Lord. But you does not deny you your right to examine my teaching. I've told this to all the congregations I've been a part of, Buyoga and Lobo, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it to you today. If ever you feel I have said something that doesn't align with the scripture, please come. Hallelujah. So here are questions you need to ask yourself under the Jesus test. Ask yourself the question, does it point me to Jesus or to a man? Am I more afraid of Jesus or of a man? Am I more dependent on Jesus or on a man? Does it exalt Christ or a man? We have to ask these questions. If Jesus is not the center and everything, if Jesus is not the cornerstone of the confession, then take a walk. Stop looking for sensationalism. Find Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the Jesus test. Let me give you one more scripture and then I'll move on. Matthew 16, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? Prophet, teacher, one of the Elijahs. But he asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter makes a confession that I pray will be on the lips of every one of us. He said this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If that is not a confession, and if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, then you have just missed the mark. So today, surrender your heart to Jesus. The second test is this. We call it the source test. In other words, where does their message originate from? Verse 5. They are from the world. This one is speaking about the false prophets. They are from the world. In other words, they are not of Christ. They are from the world. The world represents everything that's contrary to God. The world represents the systems of darkness. The world represents the devil. The world represents anything that's rebellious to God. That's what it means. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. The source of their doctrine is worldly. And the world listens to them. I mean, listen, if the world celebrates wrong doctrine, then just know they are false prophets. By the word false prophets here covers anyone. Whether you're a teacher, you're a prophet, you're an apostle, it covers all of us. Right? Yeah. Then you're false. And as I sat back thinking about this, I asked myself, what are some of the sources that we use? Let me just give an example. God helps those who help themselves. Go deeper, Papa. That sounds deep. That sounds deep. Where is that in the Bible? I did a quick research. It actually comes from the 15th century, from a philosopher who wrote that. The Bible doesn't say God helps those who help themselves. The Bible says, faith without action is what? Dead. The Bible says, work hard, put food on the table. Thieves have used that verse, that misquotation, to steal. People have used that to be corrupt. That will tell you that the source is not of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the scripture says that in the last days, the Spirit explicitly says that many will leave the faith and go after deceiving spirits and doctrines taught by demons. I give you another one. Go and forgive yourself. I know that one's going to rattle you. When the Bible does it say, go forgive yourself, you just open the scriptures for me right now. Where in the Bible does it say, go forgive yourself? Yeah. These are good teachings that I've had. The Bible doesn't say, go forgive yourself. The Bible says, ask for forgiveness and receive it from the Lord. Please go research. Again, I've told you, go and examine what I'm teaching. Their source will determine their message. Oh, this one I love. Let me give it to you. Believe in yourself. There's great potential inside of you. Believe in yourself. That sounds true, right? It sounds good. But where in the Bible does it say believe in yourself? What is the source of that phrase? It comes from many other Eastern religions. It's not there in the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell us to believe in ourselves. The Bible says, put your confidence in the person of Jesus. Draw your strength in the Lord. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's found in Jesus. Not be strong in yourself. No, in the grace that is in Jesus. So what have you believed? What is the source of the teaching? A lot of worldly philosophies have been brought and imported into the church, and we have taken it as gospel truth. No, please be like the Bereans when Paul was teaching. The Bible says, and they opened the scriptures and examined to see whether Paul was telling the truth. If they examined Paul, the apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who are you and I not to examine another man's teaching? So, yeah. Anyway, so recently I was watching a YouTube interview of one of the pastors in America. Very controversial, by the way. I will not mention names. And he's having this conversation and telling his story of how he became the pastor to the church where he is. He had been a pastor, I think, for about 10 or so years in another church. And at the time of his interview, I can't fully remember, but he said this. He said these words. He said they had been married about probably 14 or 15 years with his wife at this time. And he says, I mean, I have all respect for my wife. She's a great woman and everything else. But we just came to the place in our life where, you know, the vibe wasn't happening, wasn't connecting anymore. And I had the Lord say, divorce your wife. And listen, it didn't end there. While he's in this state here, the Lord then tells him to marry a woman who's just been divorced. Guys, what does the Bible say? Is God a liar? If he hates divorce, is he the one to tell you again to go and divorce? What does the Bible say? if you shall divorce for any reason except what? Sexual morality, you cannot remarry. Please, always figure out the source. Some sources are demonic sources. Demonic teachings will not lead you to Jesus. So you need to ask yourself the questions. This teaching, does it value what God values? Does this teaching lead me to the path of righteousness and holiness? Does this teaching anchor me in the person of Jesus? Does this teaching lead me to the cross? Does this teaching uphold the truth of the Bible? Let me say this to you. What the Bible says about one subject is not in one verse. So even if I'm going to preach about God blessing you, I need to be able to show you in the scriptures and tie them in for you. That's why people are being fleeced in this thing called prosperity gospel. I see somebody here, the Lord is saying, donate that vehicle. And the moment you donate that vehicle, you're going to receive, no. That's called utter manipulation. Which brings me to the final test that we should all have. And it's called the fruit test. Not only what they teach, but what is the evidence of their teaching? What is the fruit of their teaching? Can you see that a good tree bears good fruit? Matthew chapter 7, 14 to 20 says this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." What is their fruit? For that one, I want you to turn with me to James. For that one, I want you to turn with me to James. James chapter 3. He's talking about fruit. Who is wise? Verse 13 down to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Let the fruit of your life speak that you are wise. Wisdom here talks about right living. Let the fruit of your life, let your conduct reveal that you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that is the Lord of your life. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. I kid you not, most of these false churches, pastors, preachers, and all these guys have selfish ambitions. It's all about them and how their money and about this and about how they sit in heaven with Jesus and have breakfast. It's all about them acquiring some secret knowledge. It's all puffed up and proud. And you can't even come close to the man of God. This is not the wisdom that comes from down from above, but it is earthly and spiritual and what? Demonic. If the fruit of your life has jealousy, selfish ambition, and all these things, bitterness, anger, and all these things, pride, guess what? You are in the wrong place. I've interacted with the people from some of the false churches in Kampala, and all I pick up is arrogance. Pride. Look down on you because you don't have the knowledge, because your pastor does not go to heaven, because your pastor does not understand the scriptures deeply. Let me tell you, Lamandoka. Have you examined what they have taught you to say it is deep? What is deep anyway? It is you. I have to catch my tongue today. It is you who is ignorant of the scriptures. He carries on and says this, "For where there is jealousy, selfish ambition, and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Now, let me tell you a true story about this. One of the churches in Uganda, it's near one of our universities, happened a couple of years ago. And I have a friend who's still fighting against this false prophet or false teacher. And this is what he did in that church. Because university students go there and he says, if you can't be self-controlled and wait, rather than sin, bring your boyfriend or your girlfriend, I will bless you, and you can feel free to have sex. Some of you know that university, some of you know that church. That is called demonic doctrine showing its fruit in how the preacher is leading you. What is the fruit? Is there manipulation? Is there fear? Listen to what it says. It says, but the wisdom from above, from where? Above, is first and foremost pure. It's honoring of God. Then it is peaceable. It comes with peace, not fear. If that preacher or pastor creates fear and manipulation and control, that is not of God. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It is open to reason. I told you this already before, that it's open to reason. I am open to reason. If the man of God, woman of God, does not want to be held accountable, doesn't want to be reasoned with, hey, alarm bells. Do you know that Jesus was questioned? They questioned the Son of God. Who do you say you are? Where are you doing this from? If they could question Jesus, they could question Paul, they could question Peter the Apostle. If they could, then who am I, Lalobo James? Who? Not to be questioned. This fruit here, you have to be careful. Full of mercy and good fruits. Impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Friends, watch out for the fruit. Hallelujah. Watch out for their fruit. Jesus said something to the Pharisees. He said, you go across oceans to convert one person to Judaism, but you make them twice as the son of the devil as yourself. What does that mean? Someone may actually preach Christ to you and you get born again, but they bring you into a fellowship which is demonic and they make you more of Satan's child than of God. If we're going to be a people that are spiritually discerning, we must learn to depend on the Holy Spirit and apply these three tests I have told you about today. And this will be a framework for you every single time. And I stand before you to tell you this truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. If you're waiting for someone to lay hands on you to receive salvation, no. You have to choose Jesus yourself. Hallelujah. I sense some of you need to go and burn the materials you bought. There's materials you've bought from some of these false teachers. You need to go and burn them. Yeah, go burn them. You now know. Go and test them. You will see what I'm saying. We have demigods in the church. My brother, Don't let the enemy derail you from the purpose of God in your life. Learn to be spiritually discerning. Examine every spirit and know what God is saying. Don't depend on your wisdom. Depend on the Holy Spirit. And let me say this. It's not just in Uganda. It's not just in East Africa. It's around the world. Amen. Let me invite you to bow your heads. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What has God said to you? What has God said to you? How is the Holy Spirit nudging you in your heart? Would you make a decision right now to surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you? There are convictions. There are things you've believed that the Holy Spirit is telling you is a lie. Would you submit that to Him right now? I encourage you, don't let this moment pass you. And I sense I need to say this to someone. Your relationship is where it is because of what you've believed. You believed a lie, and the Holy Spirit is asking you to repent of that lie. For some of you, your life is a mess because of a lie you believed. And He's guiding you to the truth. And if you shall do the truth, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. And now I want to make this call to anyone that is here that needs to put their faith in the person of Jesus. I tell you the truth and I don't lie. 24 years ago, I made this decision. And I know that Jesus is true. Because His word is true. I have tested His word, I have examined His word, and I can confidently say there is no other road to salvation except through the person of Jesus. And God wants you to live with Him. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants to reconcile you to Himself, but you have to make a decision. You say to yourself, Pastor, I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. If that is you, raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. There's no other means of salvation except Jesus. Here in the auditorium, out in the overflow, if you're online, bless you. We see your hand. Is there anyone else? Just lift up your hand. Put it up high. We want to see. Our role is to help you on this journey. Is there anyone else? If you're online, just put up an emoji and say, here I am. I'm giving my life to Jesus. They're going to put a link for you. If you're on air, you will write to connect at whatotherchurch.com. But for now, those who are in-house, raise your hand up. In the auditorium, in the overflow, put your hand up. Say, here I am. Is there anybody else? Some of you need to recommit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. Say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I want to be born again today. I want to recommit myself straight away. Yes, you can. His grace is sufficient to bring you back to salvation. So if that is you, would you lift up your hand? So here I am. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want us to join together with all those that have lifted up their hands. Whether you're online, on air, or in person, I want us to pray together and commit our hearts to the Lordship of Jesus. If you've already done this before, let us encourage those that have already met this, that are making this decision. Would you repeat after me as we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And only through Him can I come into relationship with you. Forgive me of all my sins and help me become your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come, let's appreciate God for every one of those that has lifted up their lives to Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,